From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 23. Jesus is speaking, and he said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Praise be unto God for the reading from the Gospel of Luke. And then, if you will, listen as we read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few be that find it." These scriptures tell us exactly one thing. There are two ways to go, not three, not four, not five. There are not a dozen ways to get to heaven. There is a straight and a narrow road that leads to heaven. There is a broad and wide way that leads to destruction in hell fire. Now, I have to tell you, man has his opinions about hell. I didn't realize this till I got into the message and thinking about the message this week. And then I remembered what we've been studying for the last several weeks in comparative religion here on Wednesday evening. You might want to come out and be part of that if you're interested. This week we will start on the Roman Catholic Church, which is the biggest branch of Christianity, and we need to understand it. We need to talk about it. But people have opinions about hell. One of the groups of people, a gentleman named Joseph Smith, he believes nearly everybody's going to heaven, that only a very, very few people would ever go to hell, to a burning hell, because Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and everybody's going to be ushered in and be saved and go on through, and only a very few would go to hell. But, well, Mary Baker Eddy, she doesn't believe anybody's going to hell because she believes it's a state of mind. She believes heaven's a state of mind, hell's a state of mind, and that you just progress on in your spirit to someplace else. Mr. Russell and his crowd don't believe there is a hell. Old people call them no-hellers, and they don't believe there is a hell, not any at all. That the only hell you have will be the hell you make here on earth, and when you die, if you're not saved, well, you're just gone. That's the end of you. And if you are saved, you'll be resurrected to live here on the earth, unless you're one of the 144,000 good enough to get into heaven. They tell me that all the slots are filled but 8,000, some of them. And so you better be running fast if you want to get to heaven. The rest of us go out to raise beans and taters and have babies in the new earth. Well, that's some people's idea of hell, isn't it? But I have to tell you something. I'm not particularly interested in your opinion of hell. I know it's a popular subject because everywhere I go, people are talking about hell. They talk about hell on a ball game, talk about hell in all kinds of ways. I mean, everywhere I go, that's a popular word. It amazes me how popular the word hell is. When I worked at Maybelline Carew's store in Cincinnati, we had a Jewish lady who had met the Messiah and got saved, had a Catholic lady who was the security checker in or outer, and I remember I was sitting on the steps, and the Catholic lady was exasperated with what was going on, and she simply expostulated, "Oh, hell!" And all at once, the Jewish lady raised her hands and said, "What a horrible place. Why don't anybody ever say, oh, heaven? Why don't anybody ever talk about heaven?" And of course, the lady at the desk said, "Talk to him, he's one of you," and pointed at me sitting over on the steps. I was just watching the employees go in and out and checking them visually what I was doing, to tell you the truth. Well, Jesus told a story. He told a story about two men. One was rich and one was poor. One had everything that you could heart's desire, and the other was starving to death at the rich man's gates, eating what crumbs he could get that fell from the master's table. Only comfort he had was the dogs. Thing of it is, both men died. One man died, and I'm sure they just carted his body off. He was more garbage in the street. They carted poor Lazarus' body off and threw him over in Gehenna. Threw him over in the garbage pit that's there in Jerusalem. But the rich man died and was buried. He had a proper funeral. He had a proper coffin. They said the proper words over him. People came and mourned over him. They hired the mourners. So there was two deaths. But I have to tell you what happened. The two men lived different lives, but they both died. And I have to tell you, folks, I don't care if you're rich or poor, good or bad, in or out, or whatever you are going to die. 100% of us living will die unless Jesus comes before that date gets here. And both of these men died. One was buried, one was, we don't know what happened to Lazarus' body. But I can tell you, that's not the end of the story. When the rich man died, he went somewhere. And when Lazarus died, he went somewhere. And Jesus told the story that they had a destination. But they had separate destinations. The rich man died and went to hell. You say, well, he did. Well, the Bible says he did. Jesus said he did. Jesus says he died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes and said, I'm in torments. I just a tip of water to my tongue, just anything to get out of these torments. But Lazarus died, and we don't know what happened to his body, but we know what happened to Lazarus. And by the way, they were both dead. Both of their bodies were become part of the earth because Jews did not embalm. And the rich man was somewhere in a mausoleum or a tomb. Lazarus' poor body was scattered with the garbage of the earth. But my friend, they were not dead altogether. Just their bodies were dead. Their spirits were someplace else. And even though their bodies were laying in Jerusalem, they were in another destination. So I can tell you from this story, if it's a true story, that when you die, there is a destination for you. And the question is, what is your destination? Where are you going? And the rich man, of course, did not go to heaven. Lazarus went to heaven, and they received him up to heaven. Angels come and carried him away. And Abraham received him into his bosom and was hanging on to him. And in heaven, Lazarus received all kinds of good things. The rich man, who had had all kinds of good things in this world, died, and the scripture said, in hell, lifted up his eyes, and what? Said, I'm in torments. He was in a terrible place. He was in an awful place. In fact, Jesus told this story, and I have to ask you this. If there's no such place as hell, why would Jesus have told this story? If there's no such place as torment, why would Jesus have told this story? If there's not a place of eternal punishment that people go to when they die, why on earth would Jesus Christ have told this story? He told it because, my friend, he needed to let them know that he believed in a burning hell. Now, that's not popular, but if Jesus were living today, he'd be called a hellfire preacher because he believed in hellfire. Now, in fact, there was no place to go, and some of these religious leaders I've talked about in the last weeks don't believe there's any place to go when you die. Whole millions of people believe you die and you're buried and it's like a dog or a cat or whatever. That's the end of you. Unless the Lord resurrects you on that day. They don't believe you have a spirit separate from your body. Don't believe it goes anywhere. But I can tell you, Jesus spoke of hell and the torments of hell and the fire of hell much more than he ever spoke about heaven. More than twice as many times he spoke about hell than he did about heaven. If there was not a burning hell, then why would Jesus have ever told this story in the 16th chapter of Luke? Truth is, my friend, Jesus Christ believed in a burning hell. And he talked about it in many ways. He talked about hell and used synonyms for it. That's a word, you know, that means the same thing. And he called it destruction. He called it torments, with an S on the end of it. He called it death. He called it outer darkness, where there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He talked about it in the form of being a burning fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. As he told this story, you'll notice that the rich man who went to hell was conscious of being in hell. He was not an unconscious spirit. He was not some floating around spirit that had no place to go and nothing to do. My friend, when he died, he was in hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Now, was this his body? Well, I don't think so right then. I think it would be after the resurrection, but not then. He was conscious in hell. He had power to reason and to think. He had power of memory. I think that would be the most horrible part of hell, is to be in hell and remember your life on earth. I think it would be horrible to die and go to hell and remember that you left your children back on earth, lost and undone without God. I think it'd be the horror of all horrors to die and go to hell and remember that you didn't take your kids to church, didn't teach them about God, and they were back here on earth on their way to the same hell that you were in. I think that'd be the worst part of hell. And he had power of memory. He remembered, evidently he had no children or he'd have remembered that, but he remembered that his brothers were back here on earth and they were going to the same hell he was going to, and he didn't want them to go there. He wanted them to stay out of it. Jesus told this story. Do you think Jesus would tell a story that taught false doctrine? I don't think so. Do you think Jesus would tell a story that could not be and would not be true? I don't think so. I think when Jesus describes hell and says it's destruction, says it's torment, says it's death, says it's outer darkness with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, that people in hell are conscious and have power of reason and memory, he calls them who? The damned. That's another popular word I hear every day I live. Go out in public and people use the word damned. They don't know what they're saying. That's the truth. They don't know what they're saying. When you ask God to damn somebody, my friend, you're asking them ultimate punishment. You're asking God to put them in a burning hell and leave them there for eternity. If you can't say anything better than the word damn or hell, you ought to keep your tater trap shut. Amen? I mean, you ought to have a better vocabulary than that. If the only thing you can use is the word damn and hell, my friend, you are impoverished for words. You need to go back and start talking all over again. Cursing, and when we say curse, and of course we wind up around here saying cuss, but when we curse, you, my friend, you're cursing somebody to hell, and you're asking God to damn them to hell. What a horrible thing to ask. I mean, this man was in a burning hell, and he was worried about his people who were still living on earth that they could get out of it. If somebody would just go from the dead back and tell them, and you know what Jesus said, they have the Bible, let them listen to that. Somebody from the dead won't make any difference at all if they don't listen to that. Now, Jesus is very sure and reckoned that there would be a judgment and justice. Jesus Christ reckoned that there would be a day and taught that there would be a day that men would stand before the living God as sheep before a shepherd, and he divides the sheep from the goats, and he was going to weigh what had been going on in people's lives. Now, you say, well, that's tough. Yes, and he talked about a separation. The sheep he'd place on his right hands and the goats he'd place on his left hand. He would say, well done, good and faithful servants to these over here and to these over here. He would put them into torment where there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He also speaks about it as being a bottomless pit. I've always thought about that. Falling, 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 falling for eternity and no place to go. Falling through torments, falling with memory and consciousness. What a horrid place it is. I can't imagine. I can imagine heaven better than I can imagine hell. I can't imagine being in hell and knowing that I had turned down the Savior in this world, that I had said no to Him time and time again and turned away from Him, and I was there for eternity. And by the way, Jesus reckons that hell is an eternal thing, that there's no escape from it. This man could not escape, even though he prayed for it. He prayed for relief. He hadn't prayed in life, but in hell he prayed. And if you want to know where the biggest prayer meeting's ever been is going to be, it's going to be in hell, my friend. People will be screaming for God's mercy. You've never been in a place, my friend, where you cannot attain the mercy of God. You've never been in a situation in your life where the mercy of God was not available to you. God has always been available to you. this is the day of grace and salvation, and that has always been available to you. But my friend, in hell, the door of salvation will be shut, and men will pray, but they won't be heard. God will not listen to their prayers in hell. And this man prayed and cried, even not just for himself, but for his relatives, and he got no place. Why? Because he's in hell, and he doesn't have any place there to do. Now, I have to tell you something. Jesus recognizes no limbo and no purgatory. I challenge you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, go through it all. Then you can go through all of the epistles later. But I can tell you, go through the teachings of Jesus, and Jesus does not recognize any place between heaven and hell. Jesus recognizes a heaven to attain to and a hell to shun, but he does not recognize limbo, and he does not recognize purgatory. And furthermore, he does not recognize a paradise where you can go and be taught how bad you were on earth and what you need to do to figure it out. And if somebody here on earth is baptized for you, then shoo you on into heaven. It's not going to happen. By the way, Jesus doesn't recognize three heavens. He recognizes a heaven and a hell, and that's it. And you say, boy, that's old-timey kind of preaching. Well, hallelujah. Amen? I mean, that's the way it is. Jesus recognized that there was no place to go at death but heaven or hell. There's no limbo, no purgatory. And don't worry about no little baby that dies without being baptized. It's not caught in some limbo and can't get anywhere until you do something about it or pay somebody to pray for it. And my friend, if you have to pay somebody to pray, the prayer's not worth a nickel anyway. Amen? Now, how about that? I'm just getting on my horse and riding to town here. Now listen, if Jesus was living, he'd be called a hellfire preacher because he talked about the fire of hell. He talked about the fire of hell in this story. I don't know if it's a parable or not. He doesn't say it's a parable. He said there was a rich man and there was Lazarus. He don't say this is a parable. He don't say he's teaching them in a parable. He doesn't say anything about it. He teaches them that this is the way it is. This really happened. And I can tell you, he talked about the fire of hell. And he talked about hell fire. And he talked about you being in danger of hell fire. Now, if there's not a hell fire, then why would Jesus talk about this? You can't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and not believe that Jesus Christ believed in a burning hell fire. He did. And he believed that if you did not pass the test at the judgment, that you would go to that hell for eternity and pray, cry, scream, and wail, and there will be weeping and wailing, he says, and gnashing of teeth. You'll not get out. The sentence is not going to be commuted. You get a life sentence in a penitentiary here. There's always hope that the governor or the president or somebody might do something someday, or somebody might come up with something to find out. I can tell you, we find out sometimes we've incarcerated the wrong man. But that's not going to happen with God. God knows your heart. God knows everything you thought, everything you said, everything you've done, every place you've been. He knows every action, every deed of your life. And my friend, if you haven't put him under the blood and asked for forgiveness and got God to forgive you, my friend, you're going to, Granny used to say, you're going to bust tail wide open. And you say, well, that's tough. Well, come tonight and you can hear me preach about heaven. But if I don't stand up once in a while and tell you about hell, I'm going to be answering for it in the day of judgment. And God will require it at my hands to tell you. And you say, well, why on earth would Jesus, and everybody wants Jesus to be a sweet little man. Let me tell you something. He's sweet as he can be. He's dear as he can be. But he's a man. I mean, Jesus Christ is not a wimp. And he's not a sissy. And he's not mealy mouth. Jesus Christ can say and do whatever it is he has to do. And you say, well, why would he talk about hellfire? Why would Jesus, who came to save the world, talk about hellfire? Because men are lost and need God. And Jesus came to save them. And I have to tell you, folks, wouldn't it be silly if you were going in that room there and there was a rattlesnake let go in it that I didn't warn you before you got in there? Wouldn't it be sad if you started out on the ice on the lake and it was thin and I didn't warn you that the ice was thin and you're liable to fall through? Wouldn't it be criminal of me if you were getting in a boat to cross the river and I knew there was a hole in the boat and it was going to leak through and you were going to drown? Wouldn't that be criminal of me not to tell you? Wouldn't it be awful of me not to warn you of danger that's ahead? Why do we grab our children? Why do we spank our children sometimes and warn our children? Because we love them. Because we don't want them to go down that way. I can remember when we came back from Cincinnati one time, Odessa, as a little girl, we'd been living there in that cottle sack where we lived, and of course had big wide places where the women put their chairs, and the women would all bring their chairs out and their babies, and the toddlers and little kids would play around. Well, she got back over in Selco Heights. We didn't have any cottle sacks or patios or anything else, and she noticed that, there was a paved area down in front of our house. It's called the road, and right in front of it's a blind curve. So she got herself a lawn chair and took it down to set it up in the road, right in a blind curve. Why would a mother come screaming and running and grab that child and swat her behind? And my friend, now you're not much of a mother if you don't swat her behind. Somebody say amen. Amen. And Fern come running and grabbed her. And why does she have to be taught that? Why does she have to? Because we don't want her to get killed. We don't want that truck to come around the curve and swipe that little thing out of the way and kill her. We love her, and because we love her, we want to warn her, do not go down in the road, do not go in that curve, do not play in the road, because it's danger. Jesus Christ talked about a burning hell for the simple reason that he loves you and don't want you to go there. He tells you that there are two ways that you can go. And one of them is broad, has a wide gate and a broad way after it. And many people are going in that way, and it's the way of destruction. At the end of it is death. At the end of it is destruction. At the end of it is hellfire. The other way is has a narrow gate and a straight way after it. And in that way, you can go, and my friend, you can live. I don't mean many people can't get in it, but there's only a few that find it. I have to tell you something. Jesus went on after this to say that everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, men are lost. Let me straighten something out here. People say you're going to be lost. No, you are lost. If you're not saved, you are lost. It's not that you're going to be lost someday, sometime. You want to put that off. The truth is, if you're not a saved person this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you've repented of your sins, my friend, you are not going to be, you are lost. And what do you have to do? Well, Jesus has come to tell you that lost people go to hell. And they need a Savior. They need somebody to pull them back and to save them and to give them the right way. He talks about bearing fruit. He talks about saying, Lord, Lord, I can tell you religion is not good enough to save you. I can tell you there's only one person can save you. It won't be keeping the rules of this church or any other church. It won't be because you follow some pattern of dress. It won't be because you follow some pattern of how you eat or what you do. It will be because you have asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and to change you and make you whole. And my friend, without that, you are lost. And my friend, if you don't know him this morning, if you haven't walked with him, you are lost. I invite you, and I preach this message for the same reason Jesus taught it when he was here, my friend, to let you know there is a burning hell, and I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want your children to go to hell. I don't want your grandpa to go to hell. I don't want your neighbors to go to hell. And God don't want you to go to hell. That's why God sent his Son into the world to die for your sins. Why? So that you would not go to hell, but you would have everlasting life. God loved you so much that he was willing to give his Son on Calvary's cross that you could live and not die. And my friend, I'm not being mean this morning. I'm being merciful. I'm not being hateful this morning. I'm being loving and kind. I'm telling you there's danger ahead. If you're lost, you're on a destructive path that will wind up in hell. And I have to tell you something this morning. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, go home. I know you don't like to do it, but read the obituary page. You're going to find out that everybody in it is not 90 years old. You're going to find out there are people in it that's 40 years old and 25 years old. You're going to find out that people of all ages can die and do die and will die. And no, they don't have to be
taking dope or doing or drinking liquor to die, my friend. The automobiles, the airplanes, all kinds of crazy things going on in this world. There are all kinds of impediments to your life that are out there, and there are diseases floating out there, and they're getting worse. And I can tell you, as the time approaches, it's getting worse. And I have to tell you, if I didn't know I was hell-proof today, I wouldn't go out of this house till I was. My God, people, aren't you looking at the Middle East? Aren't you looking over there? That's what's happening. Don't you know, my friend, if they ascertain exactly where that bomb is in Iran, that if Iran has a bomb and can get it off the ground, they're going to drop it somewhere in Israel. And if they start to Israel, Israel is going to retaliate. And you know Israel has atomic weapons. They're going to retaliate, and it's going to break out in the Middle East. My friend, your toes are on the edge of Armageddon. Your life is on the edge of Armageddon, my friend. You don't have much time. And Buck, I think you's right to put that food away. Because I can tell you, my friend, if that happens in the Middle East, all the oil over there is going to be cut off, and times they are going to get tough. And we need to prepare for that physically. But my friend, I can tell you, you don't have a lot of time. Jesus is coming back. The end is coming, and we need to be good gracious alive. We need to be on our prayer bones. We need to be crying out to God and talking to God. You can't risk going back across this mountain and not knowing Jesus is your Savior. You can't do it. You can't risk trying to go to work tomorrow and not know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. My friends, He loves you enough to die for you, and He sent Him here so that you don't have to go to hell. Hell was created for who? The devil and his angels. It was not created for you, but I can tell you, if you choose the devil's side, that's where you're going. You're going to be with him. And I pray that no one will leave this hall today not knowing for sure that their name's in the Lamb's Book of Life and they're hell-proofed and fire-proofed today. You can be. Father, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, we come into your presence this morning. And Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much that you're willing to send your Son to die for us. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much that you're willing to send the Holy Ghost to bring us messages and to teach us your ways, to teach us how we ought to move and what we ought to do. Father, I ask it in Jesus Christ's holy name that the Spirit of the living God will move and bless. Father, I pray that the anointing of God, Lord, will reach out into hearts this morning. If there are people here who've never had a salvation experience, I pray that their hearts will be moved and their souls will be touched. And Father, I pray if there's people here who have backslid or fell back on God and grown cold, Father, that they'll be fired up this morning and the Spirit of God will lift them up. Lord, help us to realize how close the day is, how short the time is. Help us to recognize, God, that the only fireproof way is through the blood of Calvary. Father, help us to repent of our sins and turn to you. Father, we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ that God the Holy Spirit will be with us today to draw us to Calvary's foe and to be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And my friend, I want to tell you something. This is one of my favorite songs to sing at a time like this. We're going to sing. The choir's going to sing. You're going to sing. We're all going to sing. When he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son, but he reached down his hands for me. Would you stand up and would you sing with us when he reached down his hand for me? And my friend, if you're not saved this morning, run to the altar. Fall in the aisle. Repent where you are. Beg God to save you, and he will. Hallelujah. Let's sing it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come back tonight. Pray. Seek God as you go on your way. Trust Him in every way you possibly can. God is a good God. He don't want you to be lost. He wants you to go to heaven. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus Christ, to whom we give praise and glory forever. Amen.